Now let's turn, please, in our Bibles to the passage that I read earlier for you, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And I'm looking in particular at the last verse of this passage. The Apostle Paul says to the church in Corinth, "And we all," he's speaking about God's people in Christ's kingdom today. He says, "We all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image," by which he means the image of Christ, the image of the Lord. "We are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit." I'm preaching a series of sermons called "How to Live a Life That is Pleasing to God." And as I've said before, when we read the Bible, what the Bible does is that it teaches us some great truths about the Christian faith and then teaches us how to live as a Christian. The Bible isn't a book that is full of commands. The Bible is a book that is full of teaching. If you think about it, the amount of teaching in the Bible is enormous, and actually the sections where there are commands given are relatively few. You might find this very interesting, but this is the truth. The commands in the Bible are actually very few, but truths that are taught are many, because this is how the Christian faith works. God instructs our minds. God fills our minds and our hearts with knowledge about himself. And our hearts and our minds are thrilled when we see what God teaches us about himself, about the Lord Jesus, about our salvation. All these truths are filled into our hearts and minds, and our hearts and minds are thrilled with these truths. And the response that we have is to live lives that are pleasing to him. That is how the Christian faith works. And so when we look at this series, how do you live a life that is pleasing to God? I'm not going to stand before you and give you a list of do's and don'ts. I want to fill your hearts and your minds with great moving truths, inspiring truths that will thrill you. And so your spontaneous response will be that if this is the truth that is revealed in God's Word, if these wonderful truths are there in God's Word and are now lodged in my heart and mind, well, then I must live a life pleasing to Him. It's a spontaneous response that God looks for, rather than the response that says, well, I must do this and I must do that because I'm commanded to do this and I'm commanded to do that. We are to live lives of love, and love is a spontaneous thing rather than a duty. So this morning we're looking at yet another truth. We've been looking at a series of truths that will help us to live a life that is pleasing to God. And this morning we're looking at yet another truth. And the truth that we're looking at is this. We're looking at the power of God's love in the hearts and lives of His people. This is what I want to speak about this morning. The power of God's love in the hearts and lives of his people. You know, when the Apostle Paul wrote to the Ephesians, he writes down two prayers that he prays for the church in Ephesus. There's a prayer in chapter 1 and there's a prayer in chapter 3. And when you read those prayers that he prays for the church in Ephesus, he's essentially saying to them, he's saying, "I'm praying this for you, that you might know the power of God's love, which is at work in your hearts and in your minds." That's what he prays for. He says the love of God is at work in your hearts and minds. The power of God's love is at work. I'm praying that you'll be aware of this. I'm praying that you'll be conscious of this. And you'll be delighted in it. And that's what I want to do this morning. I want to speak about the power of Christ's love in the hearts and lives of his people from 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18. I have two points for you from this passage. And the first one is this. It is there very clearly laid out in the passage. God is at work transforming us into the image of Christ. God is at work in us, transforming us into the image of Christ. Paul says to the Corinthians, "And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord." And the word beholding is more than seeing, it is contemplating, understanding, appreciating, growing in our knowledge of it. Beholding the glory of Christ, are being transformed. It's a present continuous tense in the Greek. We are being transformed into the same image, into the image of Christ, from one degree of glory to another. And he says, this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. If you're a Christian here this morning, there are certain things God has done for you. God has set His love upon you. And God has planned your salvation. And God has sent His Son into the world for you. And Christ has lived a perfect life for you. And Christ has died on the cross of Calvary for you. And Christ has been raised from the dead for you. And Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father, your great high priest, for you. So there are certain things that God has done for you. And then there are certain things that God is doing in you. This is salvation. Salvation is God doing certain things for you and God doing certain things in you. And when you became a Christian, God the Holy Spirit came to live in you. And He came to live in you with one purpose in mind, to transform you, to change you, so that you will be transformed into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. That you will be as loving and as kind and as merciful and as gracious and as compassionate that as He was. That when people here on earth saw the Lord Jesus, and they saw His kindness, and they saw His graciousness, and they saw His love and mercy and compassion, all these beautiful things about the Lord Jesus that attract us, God the Holy Spirit is at work in you today, producing Christ's character in you. He is at work doing this. Now, the thing that I want you to grasp this morning, I think this is the truth most of us are aware of. We've been taught this truth from the time we became Christians. But the thing that I want you to be aware of this morning is this, that God takes great delight in doing this work. God takes great delight in doing this work. This work that is happening in you, whereby God is transforming you, changing you, making you more and more like Jesus, this process brings great joy, great delight. It brings a thrill to the heart of God. You mustn't think that the whole process is frustrating for God. You mustn't think that the whole process is a trial for God. He would rather it didn't happen that way, and he has to put up with it because we're so slow in the process, in the progress we make, and there are so many sins we have and so on. We mustn't think like that. God takes great delight. There is great joy in the heart of God in this process of producing the character of Jesus Christ in you. Let me illustrate it this way. Imagine that there's a man who loves his wife dearly. And he is a wealthy man, and he brings in a portrait painter, the best portrait painter in the world. And he says, "I want you to paint a portrait of my wife, so that all her beauty and character are seen." And the man spends days and weeks and months, and finally the portrait is done. And he comes and looks at the portrait, and he can see his wife's character. He can see her kindness, her compassion, her gentleness, her loving nature, her patience. The portrait painter has somehow captured this woman's beautiful character, all her positive characteristics. He has captured all of that in this portrait, and the man is thrilled with it. And then one day, some people break into the house, and they deface that portrait. They throw paint over it, and they deface it. And he's heartbroken. And his son comes to him, and his son is an expert in restoring portraits. His son says, "Dad, we will sort this out. We will restore this portrait so that the image of the one whom you love will emerge gradually." You see where I'm going with this illustration, can't you? So the son begins this work of restoring this portrait so that the image of the one whom he loves begins to emerge. And day by day, work goes on in this portrait. And some days it's very slow, 2 millimeters, 3 millimeters. Others days a bit more, a couple of centimeters. But gradually the portrait is being restored. And he comes and he looks, and he will occasionally, I can see something of my wife there. I can see kindness because the eyes have begun to appear. And I can see graciousness and love because her face has begun to appear. The restoration gradually begins to show her character. And little by little, this whole image appears. And he takes great delight in it because he sees his beautiful wife appearing little by little by little. The one whom he loves is appearing. Do you know that is what is happening in you today? God, the Holy Spirit, is restoring you. And he uses all manner of things. He uses the trials that you face. He uses the difficulties that you have in your life. He uses the illnesses that you have. He uses the joys that are there in your life. He uses everything. He uses the Word of God, the prayers of God's people, the fellowship of God's people, the service that you bring to Him. All these things God uses to transform you into the image of Christ. And little by little, the image of the Son of God is appearing in you. You can imagine perhaps a person who, when he became a Christian, wasn't a nice person. They'd been, they didn't have a very nice childhood, and the person wasn't kind and wasn't considerate and wasn't gracious and didn't care for other people, selfish, self-centered. And God saves this person, brings this person into his kingdom, and the Spirit of God sets to work. And one day, totally out of character, this person does an act of kindness. Never done it before. Has always been selfish and self-centered. Has always been rude to their neighbors. Never spoken a kind word to his neighbor. But always shouted at his neighbors. And has become known as a rude person in the neighborhood. But one day, he turns up with a shovel and goes to his next door neighbor and says, "It has snowed in the night. I'm going to clear your driveway for you." And the neighbor almost faints. "Well, you've never spoken to me like this. You've always been very rude to me." "Oh, that's all right. I'll clear your driveway for you." And he clears the driveway. A kind act, because God the Holy Spirit has been at work producing Jesus. And can you imagine how God the Father feels when he sees this act of kindness? Because he has seen something of his Son. And the one great truth you must have fixed in your mind is God the Father loves God the Son. God the Father loves his Son with all his heart. There isn't a love like this in the universe, the love that the Father has for his Son. The Father enjoys his son, when they have fellowship together, it's a wonderful time, a thrilling time, because the father loves the son, and the father loves the character of his son. He loves the fact that his son is kind and gracious and merciful and compassionate and loving. All these things delight the father. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. And he sees something of his son's character appearing in this child of his whom he has saved and brought into his kingdom. Kindness has appeared. It's like a beam of light has suddenly come through. And it delights the father. There I can see something of my son's character. And a few weeks later, he shows compassion to somebody. Never shown compassion before. His heart was as hard as rock, but now he shows compassion to somebody, an unexpected act of compassion. And the father sees it and is thrilled. My son, I can see him in this child whom I have saved. And so the process goes on, and little by little, the character of Christ emerges, and it thrills God the Father to see the character of the one whom he loves appearing in us. You see why I'm telling you this and underlining it and emphasizing it. It's because I want us to grasp this truth so that we live lives that please him. Do you know it's the easiest thing in the world to be unkind, to be selfish, to be grumpy, to be remote, standoffish, all those sort of things. That's easy. It takes effort to be Christ-like. It takes effort to be kind and generous and compassionate and merciful and loving. But I say this to you, when we do that, God is so thrilled. I want to encourage you, you see. I want to put before you this encouragement. Be like Jesus Christ, because it thrills your Father in heaven. Be like Christ, because it brings joy to his heart. He delights to see the character of his Son appearing in us. One of my closest friends was sitting in the service, and a challenge was put out about being like Christ and some particular aspect of Christ's character. And he said to himself, as he usually did, well, of course, I'm a Yorkshireman. And immediately his conscience spoke. And his conscience said to him, you're not a Yorkshireman, you're a child of God, so get on with it. You know, we can make excuses. And I say to you, let's not make excuses. There is a process going on. We can grieve the Holy Spirit. Three times in the Bible, it talks about how God's people can grieve the Holy Spirit, frustrate the Holy Spirit in this task. Friends, let's keep in step with the Spirit as he transforms us into the image of the Son of God to the delight and joy of our Father. That's the first thing that we find here, that God is at work transforming us into the image of Christ, and it is a work that brings him great joy. There's a second thing that is found in the scriptures. It is hinted at here and found everywhere in the Bible, and it is this: the means by which God does this work is the love of Christ. The dynamic power, the means that he uses to melt our selfish hearts, the means that he uses to shape us, is the love of Jesus Christ. Because the most powerful thing in the universe is the love of Christ. The love of Christ melts the hardest rock. The love of Christ shapes the toughest metal. The love of Christ shapes the hardest of people. And you can see people, as you look at their Christian lives, you can see the image of Christ appearing as the love of God in Christ floods into their hearts. That is the power God uses, the love of Jesus Christ. This is what happens to us in the Christian life, you see. We become Christians and the Holy Spirit comes to live in us and the Holy Spirit is at work in us. And what is it that the Holy Spirit does? The Holy Spirit ministers Jesus Christ to us. The Holy Spirit brings to us the love of Jesus Christ. Our hearts feel and experience the love of Jesus Christ. That love comes to us and it thrills our hearts and minds and it fills us, and the love of Christ begins to work dynamically in our lives and reshapes us and produces the image of Christ. It is the love of Christ that is the means that the Holy Spirit uses to transform us into the image of Christ. Back in the 1980s, a boy of 8 was adopted in the East End of London by a Christian family, a Christian couple. When this boy was born, he was born in one of the most dysfunctional homes that I've ever heard of. His mother was a prostitute. His father, well, he never knew who his father was. His stepfather was a drug dealer. His parents hated him, his birth parents, and frequently beat him. His neighbors hated him because he was the son of a drug dealer. They were all Asians, and the Asians didn't want drug dealers in their neighborhood. So he was hated by everybody. By the time he was 8, the only things he had in his heart were bitterness, anger, and hatred. That was his life. Bitterness, anger, and hatred. And at the age of 8, a Christian couple adopted him. And they poured love into him. And he responded with bitterness, anger, and hatred. And for years this went on. For 7 or 8 years this went on. They would sit him down and they would say to him, "We love you. You are precious to us. We will never stop loving you. And we love you until we have no more love, and that day will never come." And his heart would scream, "But I hate you, I don't want you, I'm bitter, I'm angry." And for years this went on. One day when he was 16 years old, he was a close friend of mine, I know the story well. He was walking along a footbridge over a busy road. Suddenly, halfway through this, across this footbridge, he just sat down. Because it suddenly occurred to him, his parents love him. Their love had broken through. The heart, which had been hard as rock, had suddenly become soft, and love had come in. And he realized, my parents love me. He felt loved. He experienced love. He actually experienced love for the first time in his life. Felt loved. When he went home, his parents realized something was different. He was a bit too proud to say anything. But they realized he was different. And over the next few years, he really began to change. He began to love them. He began to reflect their character. Just as they loved him, so he loved them. And just as they were gracious and kind and compassionate, so he began to be gracious and kind and compassionate. And he became a Christian. And he went to Bible college. And he came to Africa as a missionary. And his life was characterized by love. And in his late 30s, he contracted a rare blood disease and died. I remember standing in front of the congregation of hundreds of people at his funeral. And everybody spoke about his love. How he loved the people of Africa because he loved God, because he knew the love of God in his heart. Friends, God loves us. And we need to experience that love of God. We need the Spirit to come and pour the love of Christ into our heart. And when the love of Christ comes and we have an experience of it, there is a transforming power in us. Because we see the love of God, we experience it. And we say to God, "I must love you back because you love me with such a great love." And things like selfishness and inconsideration and my way and not others' way, these things have to go because the love of Christ has come. Do you ever pray that the Spirit would come to you and bring to you the love of Christ? Pray that. Pray that. Ask God that His love would flow into your heart by the Spirit, because it is a transforming love and it produces Christ-likeness. So God is at work in us, transforming us into the image of Christ. And the means by which He does this is the love of Christ, the power of Christ's love in His people. Let's come.